25. Invisible Plans. Modo couldn't hide his shock.
Kill her? Cut her like a fish? She won't see it coming. Well, won't see me coming. Tee-hee!
Griff chuckled, trailing off into another high-pitched giggle. It still seemed impossible to Modo that this man, this invisible man, was sitting right in front of him.
I'm jesting. I don't believe it'll come to that. Besides, how do you pilot this damned contraption? No, we would do better to force her to beach the metal beast in Liverpool.
I doubt she'll submit to force, Modo said.
Everyone will submit to force, Modo. It's just a matter of applying enough of it.
He emitted a clicking cricket sound from deep in his throat. Modo feared that Griff had spent far too much time alone. He had several odd tics.
Anyway, we will find a way off this barrel. Then the Permanent Association can return in force to capture it and the city.
Capture it? Asked Modo, wondering if Mr. Socrates and his colleagues would actually try to take the submarine ship. The thought of stealing it from Captain Monturiel made him sick to his stomach. Yet wouldn't it be better if a ship such as this was on Britain's side?
Of course they'll want it. Or at least the plans to build one of our own. It's a staggeringly ingenious design.
What have you learned about the Actinio?
I sneaked into the crow's nest at the front. There are observation portholes there, and a massive ram on the prow that'll tickle the underbellies of any military ships. Ha! Get that? Tickle the underbellies. Tahee!
The sheet moved as Griff laughed.
They also have retractable bronze claws for cutting and pinching. I haven't been able to get into the engine room at the aft. It's cleverly locked. I can only guess what she's hidden there.
He gave a phlegmy cough.
Well, that's that. We wait for our moment, then we strike. I'll tell you when. We should shake on it.
The blanket moved.
I'm holding out my hand, Modo.
Oh, sorry. Modo put out his hand, and it was grabbed by a cold, small hand that squeezed tightly.
Long live the Permanent Association. I'll be the eyes and the ears, Modo. And you?
The sheet fell to the floor.
The ugly brawn. Toodaloo.
The cabin door opened and closed.
Griff?
Modo said quietly, looking around. He was pretty sure his visitor had left, but how could he know for certain?
Griff?
Modo held his arms out wide, touching either side of his cabin. He walked its length, arms spread. Griff was gone. Modo's thoughts swirled about. Had he really been talking with an invisible man? But Griff had been on the Hugo, had followed them down the streets of New York, had heard private conversations. All that time Griff had been spying on him and Octavia, prying into their lives. He knew so much about them. And he's seen my face. Modo touched the rough outline of his cheeks, the pockmarked skin and sunken nose. Griff's words still stung. Modo tried to keep his emotions at a distance. He couldn't get upset about such things. Yes, he was ugly. That was a fact. Another fact was that Mr. Socrates had told him to never show his real face to anyone. That way he couldn't be identified. But here he'd had no choice. It was impossible to hide from an invisible man. Then he remembered that many others had seen his face. Mr. Socrates had saved him from a travelling freak show. He had no memory of that period of his life, for he had been only a year old. He imagined that hundreds had paid to see his ugliness. The idea made him tremble with anger. He was still hungry. All that was left was the dulse and some other green seaweed. It was cold and salty, but at least it stopped his stomach from growling. As he chewed, he thought about Griff. Modo didn't completely trust him. There was a sense of madness and deep anger in him. Where did he sleep? As for what he'd said about the association, it wasn't beyond reason that Lady Burton would have her own agents following a similar assignment. From the little Modo knew of the Permanent Association, it was a cohesive group, but its members sometimes operated independently. He had to get a message to Mr. Socrates. Modo fiddled with the telegraph. The key was broken, but using a pin, He managed to click the machine on and off. That idiot Griff had broken the electric cell. It was doubtful there'd be replacement electric cells anywhere on board. Otherwise, it seemed the device might work. He hid it under the mattress again. Could Colette have killed Weil? If what Griff had said was true, she was a consummate actor. She was a trained agent, just like him. She would know hundreds of ways to quietly kill an opponent, and had threatened to kill Monturiel, after all. Will she kill me when I'm no longer needed? Modo wondered. She might do so to keep the secret of the Actinio all to herself and to France.